That was good worship. Thank you, Lord. We're going to start a 6-week series today. And the theme is really something that Jesus said at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. So if you have a red letter Bible, that means that in your Bible, the words of Christ, they printed them in red letters. So the idea is, I'm reading the Bible, and these are direct quotes from the Lord. It just sort of stands out. And if you're having those Bibles, and you're reading through the Gospel of Matthew, and you get to chapter 5, it almost becomes like, it almost hits you in the face for a minute. There's like two verses that are black, where it's kind of like narrative. And then starting in verse 3, through all of chapter 5, through all of chapter 6, and all but the last two verses of chapter 7 is all red letters. Not one single black letter in all that. It is the longest single just block of Jesus speaking to us and speaking into the people that were following him at that time. And he talks about all sorts of things. He talks about what it means to be blessed and who is gonna be blessed and what it means to be salt and light. He talks about lust and anger and divorce and taking revenge. He talks about loving your enemies. He talks about giving to the needy and praying and fasting and having faith in God. He talks about judging and bearing fruit. And he talks about, like, if you would just ask, God hears you. If you just seek him, you will find. He says all those things. He just talks about just a whole myriad of topics about living life, and then he ends it with this phrase here, few sentences. He says this. He says, listen, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Conversely, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And the rains fall down, and the floods rise up, and the winds beat on that house and blew on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And Jesus is saying, listen, I am giving you words of life. If you would just only just build your house, if you would just build your life on these words, I am giving you dependable truths that last forever kind of words that you can build your life upon. And when the storms of life come, when the good times, the bad times, when everything beats on the house of your life, you will stand your house is built, if your life is built on the truths of God, these forever truths from the most trustworthy source, that is Jesus Christ, that is God the Creator, and the Holy Spirit God. It's trustworthy. It's something you can trust. And if you're going to build a house, you know, you could choose where you're going to put it. And, you know, you might have a plot of land. You might have a nice pretty hill. You might have a little pond. You might have a little river. You might have a sandy spot. You might have a grassy spot. You might got one place that's all mud. It's like, where are you going to put it? You know, you're going to put it in the mud hole? You know, what's going to happen when the rains come? He's like, it's just wise to build your house, to build your life on something that is dependable. And he says, I'm going to give you words that are a foundation. So for the next 6 weeks, I thought, Lord God, if we could just take 6 weeks, if we wanted to build our house upon the rock, Lord, give us maybe just 6 truths. Like, what are the basic foundations I need to plant my house on for me and my family? What are 6 truths that for sure, if I had to skip everything else, if I just had to make sure I got the basics down, what are those 6 truths so we can build our house? And so in good times, we have this life that is blessed by God, like Jesus says. He says, you know, blessed are those who, you know, I want to be in that group. And when the hard times come, I want my house, I want my life to stand and stand strong and know that we're going to get through this because I'm built on the right things. And so that's sort of what we're doing. And so this week we're going to start with, well, we're going to start in the beginning. We're going to start in the beginning. And We're going to talk about that there is a creator. And if you turn in your Bible, if you want to follow along a little bit today, we're going to loosely just be in Genesis 1 and 2. And if you think of nothing else this morning, I mean, just catch this. There are 66 books in your Bible, probably, unless you have a Catholic Bible. You might have a couple of the intertestamental Bibles or books there. But 60, over 60 books, right? And I should have brought the number, like how many chapters and how many verses. We have all this. We have God's Word from centuries, written by so many authors, right? And how it had stood the test of time, God, like, he labored to get us these words in a dependable way. Now we have all this, the Word of God, we have all this, and this is how it starts. He started it all off this one way. Chapter 1, verse 1 in the first book, it says this: in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the place where God starts us out at, and the place where, if we know nothing else, here's a good place to start, is that there's a creator, you know? That everything you see here didn't used to be here, and someone intended it to happen. God made it. There's a creator. And no matter what anyone else says, there's a creator. No matter how many great ideas or clever views someone might have or wonderful theories that could be or maybe, no matter what, God made it obvious and forever true that we can go out there, we can walk outside right now. I mean, we're at Indian Lake. What better place to talk about this? That there is a creator, right? And in a sense, everyone knows it. And the Bible even says everyone knows it. God says he made it so that everyone would know it. And in a sense, we are without excuse for following any other line of view. I used to like to study the American Indians. I just thought it was cool that, you know, I had like a friend that found an arrowhead in his backyard. And I thought it was so cool that, like, we read about all this history and, like, you know, there's like something that happened a long time ago and like the tectonic plates about the earth and just all this stuff. But the American Indians, like, that might have happened in my backyard. Like the Civil War, yeah, that happened in my country, and maybe, you know, maybe there's probably something. But the American Indians, like, that might have happened at my house, you know, and I just thought it was cool. And so I'd look into stuff like the American Indians and sort of their life a little bit. And the American Indians and pretty much every other peoples on the face of the earth, they almost have like this, something inside them, this desire. It's almost like a disease, like they just have to be religious, right? Like they just realize something and they seek it out and they all try to, they're all just trying to figure it out somehow. They're like, surely there's something more than this. There's got to be. It's just so obvious. And it's not like, you know, back in the days of the explorers that they would show up and they would, like, land on one beach and they would find these people. And it's like, okay, about, you know, I found these people and they think that there's a higher power, but, and I found these people, but they don't think that. It's pretty much like everyone had a view, right? And they found another tribe, they found another kind of people, and everyone thought something. Like, surely there's someone out there. It's just obvious. It's just how God made it. It's just undeniable. And, you know, when I used to talk about creation, I suppose as I've grown a little bit, I used to labor a little bit to try to show that God's a creator. But that's silly. But that's so silly. Because I look, like, at my children now, and I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to try to prove to you that someone created this child. I mean, it'd be ridiculous, right? Surely they had a parent. It's just, any kind of reasoning I would give would not do justice to the fact that this created thing had a creator. And all I would do is mess it up trying to explain those things. In fact, Paul told the Christians of Rome this. He says, you know, what can be known about God is plain to everyone. Because God, listen to this, I never caught this word. God has shown it to them. He has shown it to them. We can walk outside right now, and God will just show it to us. There is, without a doubt, there is a creator. He says, for even the things you can't see, his invisible properties, you know, mostly his eternal power and his divine nature, that stuff has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. God made it so that we could just see that there's a creator. And, you know, there's probably some people in this room that are in a really good spot with God right now, and they might just be having a sweet time. They might be living in blessing, and they could just, you know, and they see God in every sneeze and every fly and every speck of dust in their house, and they're just walking with the Lord, and it's just, you know, and it's just a blessing. It's like a fountain. And there's probably some people in this room right now that, you know, they're going through a tough time, and it's hard even to notice what's going on in the news. It's even hard to accept what's going on at school or at work or even in their own house. It's harder to take, just to take anything else in right now because it's so hard. But at our very basic level, no matter what's going on, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, God just made it fundamental that we can just see that there's a creator. And that means something. If you had to have an outline for this morning, the idea here is that we're going to walk through is that, one, there's a creator. And if there's a creator, there's a reason. And if there's a reason, there's a purpose. I like how, you know, there's kind of like this, probably the last couple decades, this fight, even longer than that, this fight, like, science has their views and religious people have their views. The writer of Hebrews just kind of set up kind of plainly. He says, you know, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things that are, was not made out of things that are visible. It wasn't made out of anything that we could see. He's like, it's, in other words, you're not going to prove there's God with science. You're just not going to prove it. He's like, it's great that you talk about it, but it's just a silly conversation to have because it's just fundamental. You know, we used to try to give examples, and I love giving examples like this. I used to say, hey, see that building across the road? Was there a builder for that building? And, you know, you have to say, yeah. But here's the thing. How do you know? Like, have you met him? Did you see it going up? See, you don't know. It takes some faith, even. And even knowing there's a creator takes a little bit of faith. But we want to quickly move on from there. If that's fundamental, let's move on. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. If there's a creator and he created us, knowing what we know about God, I'm pretty sure he wasn't just like, I'm just going to experiment today. I'm just going to mess around, see what happens, right? Like God, everything he does, like he's eternal. He knows everything, right? If he did something, he's got a plan and a purpose. He had an idea. So if he created everything, he created people who are someday going to live in your house, someday who are going to sit in this building, someday who are going to have kids and fall in love. He created people who are someday going to like this food and not like that food. Like, he must have had a reason. He must have had some reason for doing all that. And I think, again, I just think about my kids. I think, you know, I would say lately, you know, as you have kids, you go through like these different stages of challenges as they grow, and they have different challenges, right? No, I'm the only one. You ever have challenges, right? So maybe lately one of our challenges is Lisa cooks. She likes to cook. She makes awesome dinners, and she's always trying new things. And I've said before, it's like if I were the cook, it'd be like one of these five things every night. You know, it would be terrible, right? And so we're so blessed, but now the kids are used to being so blessed. And they show up at dinner time. Those are not our kids. I just picked some kids. I'm sorry. But the kids show up, and it's like they're demanding. It's like, serve me and get my food, and I need this. And it's like, and we're like trying. I mean, I promise. I'm not being lazy. We're trying to like build in like manners. And mommy could have just, you know, done something else. But it's like this idea, like, you're here, mom and dad, for me. Right? You ever get that way? And if I mean, this, it's like confession time. If I had to confess, I would say sometimes between me and God, it's kind of like all my confession, all my prayers, all my attitude is sometimes like, God, it's all about me. I know you created it, and you must have a reason, and you must, I mean, there must be something more going on that I can see, but all I really care about right now is, will you fix this pain, or will you help me be awesome, or that person hurt my feelings, or I'm worried about this. And honestly, sometimes a lot of my prayer is really like those kids. It's really just kind of, you know, it's just natural. It's just kind of selfish. But the truth is, if God created you, and he did, and he loves you like I love my kids, and more than that, there's a reason he created you. And he probably loves you. He's probably thrilled that you are here right now. You came seeking him this morning. Like, I just love that last song we just had. It's like, what just crazy love. Like, he knew ahead of time, like, that I was going to be probably like a mediocre, you know, car fixer. I was going to be like a mediocre, like, yard guy. You know, all these things. I wasn't going to be great at lots of things, and I was going to offend him in lots of ways, and I was probably going to sin against him many times, but he knew all that. He just crazy just loved us. He just crazy just loved you, knowing all that stuff, and he still's like, I'm going to make him anyway. I'm still going to create him. And even in all that mess, here's what I want. Here's what I want from them. I've got a reason. I've got a reason. Now, Paul said it this way. He was talking to non-believers in Athens. He says, you know, the God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live like in temples made by men. He's way beyond that. Nor is he served by human hands as if he needs anything from you. No, in fact, he gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Here's what he's like. He made from one man every nation, every city, every state, every family, every house. From one man, he made all those people, all on the face of the earth, and determined ahead of time the periods that they would live, the boundaries of their living. Here comes that they should seek God, and perhaps somehow feel their way toward him and find him, even though he's not really far from any of us. And I think, like, those American Indians and all those other people, like, even though, like, they never heard, like, Jesus probably never showed up in their camp, maybe that he did to some, I don't know, but then they come up with these ideas like the Great Spirit, all like, I think at some level, God is thrilled. Like, he knows, like, they get it. Like, I'm out here somewhere, and they're just trying to find me. I think at some level, they're just so thrilled. And like a child who's, you know, given up for adoption at birth, they know somewhere out there is their parent. And probably that parent, no matter what the circumstances were, that parent on some level loves that child. And if that child is looking for them and hoping to find them, I bet that just, you know, that just makes a parent's heart just swell with joy. Like, my child loves me. We had a lady show up at this church one day, and Ashley, our Kids Zone director, she was preparing lessons or something over in Kids Zone on the other side of the wall there. And this lady shows up, never been here before, knocks on the door. And I asked Ashley a long time ago if I could share the story, and she said, yeah. And so Ashley, she's awesome woman of God. She's not yet comfortable praying publicly, and so that's just, you know, everybody has something that's kind of one of her things. And so this lady shows up, knocks on the door, and she says, hey, this is a church, right? Would you pray for me? I'm about to go meet my daughter, who I'm estranged from. I haven't seen her maybe ever. I don't know what the story was. It was like, I haven't seen her since she was a child, or like in 10 years, and I don't know what she's going to think of me. I'm afraid if she's going to be disappointed in me. So Ashley prayed for her, and, you know, Ashley said, it was so easy. I thought it would be hard, but just like, it was just natural. And Ashley prayed for this woman, and this woman went, and then she just walked out there where she was gone. It's just like, okay, I prayed for the lady, I hope it works out. And that mother was just like, I just want this child that I created, I just want this child just to love me. And somehow the connection worked out, right, where she got to go meet her daughter. So many don't get that opportunity, you know, and she got it, and she was preparing herself. She wanted to do well. She wanted her daughter to love her. And so it just worked out that lady found her way back here, and found Ashley and told her the whole story and was thrilled at how well it went, and her daughter was so happy that they found it. Like, that mother's heart was overjoyed. You know, didn't even really raise her daughter, but still loved that daughter so much. And God, our Creator, you know, He created you, and no matter where you are, if you're estranged, if you're walking side by side, He's just thrilled for you to seek out and to find Him. If you are closer to God today than you have never been, and you're going to sit down this afternoon and seek Him even more, He is thrilled at that. You know, He had a reason. I created my kids, honestly. I just wanted to have kids. I love them. You know, and I sit down at the table, and it's like, I got two sitting on my lap at one time. They're like, not that small anymore. And I can't even get to my food or the books. I mean, it's just, you know, I just love it. And God just loves. He had a reason. He created you for a reason. Now, even knowing all the junk, He still created you and wanted you to seek Him out. And He says, sometimes there's going to be hard times. And if you're willing, He'll use the hard times to bring you to Him so that you would seek Him. And sometimes there's going to be good times. And He's going to use the good times so that we could seek Him out too. And I think, like, if I were God and I was creating everything, I think I would have missed so many things. Like, He's made stuff, like, He didn't have to make. For example, like, if you've got, like, a favorite dish that you love to eat, He didn't even have to give us really taste buds. He could have figured out some other way. But there's probably some foods that you love, right? We didn't have to have that. How small is that on the scale of God created the universe, right? Like, I like pizza or something, right? And I think, like, God's people, like, walking through the desert, and He, like, gives them manna. Like, He could have given them anything, but He sort of, like, made it a new thing. It's like this flaky, like, light bread thing or something. I don't know. Like, they didn't know either, right? The manna means, like, what is it or something like that. And I thought, why'd God do that? You know, He could have given them, like, rice cakes or raisin cakes or, you know, like, purely health food. He could have done that, right? Taking care of us, like, could have given vegetables, right? But He gave them this manna. It was kind of sweet. They kind of liked it. You know, in my mind, I'm like, I know. It's because someday they're going to, like, learn to, like, fry that stuff, put some glaze in there. Like, yesterday we had some donuts, and I'm like, oh, there's a God, right? Right? He didn't have to do that. But because He loves us, He just made that stuff. He just loves us so much. There's a reason He created us. And He's hoping that we seek Him and find Him. One, there's a Creator. Two, there's a reason. And three, there is a purpose. There's a purpose. I'm going to switch over here to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read just about two or three verses here, starting in verse 8. Genesis 2, verse 8 says this. Now the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. It means it was in the middle of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was there too. And how many times have I read that part? And, you know, if you've read it before, you're like, that's the thing. That's the thing where God tells them not to touch it. And God put it right in the middle of the place. He put it right in the middle. Like, He put the man in the garden, because this whole garden made awesome, and put the one thing right in the middle that He told him not to touch. How many times have I read that? How many times maybe you read that? Maybe you had the same thought, like, why didn't He just put it outside the garden? Like, why? Like, how awesome would it have been if we had never sinned? Right? Like, my car has rust on it right now because Adam and Eve messed up, right? I mean, we got a broken world now, and we sinned. And God said, you know, I'm putting this here, and you can touch everything, but you can't touch that one thing. And first of all, remember this. God gave him, like, all that stuff, and only, first of all, He didn't, like, set him up for failure. Like, I'm giving you 99% of the things you cannot have, and 1% you can't. You need to stay in this little box. He didn't say that. He said, I'm giving you dominion. I'm giving you a special job over all this, over your part of the life, everything that you touch and see, and that you have whatever power you have. You're over that. But here's this. This little thing here, I don't want you to mess with. I'm like, why'd he do that? And he probably knew we were going to mess up. And I think it's this. It's just like this when he calls us to seek him. It's like this. It's like, you know what? I think you wanted him. He wanted us to choose God over ourselves. He wanted us to choose him. He's like, you know, if you're not really free to choose him, you're not really free. And you probably don't really love him. Right? It's like, I got a dog on a leash. He's just stuck with me. Whether he loves me or not, he's just mine. Right? But if I let the dog go and he comes back, I know he loves me. He jumps up on me, licks me, and gets my shirt all dirty, and he's like wagging his tail like crazy. I know he loves me, right? Because he had the choice. He could have gone off. And someday when my kids are old enough, they're going to have a choice. Like, they can leave. They can just leave just to get away from me if they want to. Right? I think God just gave them the choice. And he's just calling us to choose him. He just wants us to choose him. Here's the purpose. And it's said several times in God's word in a couple different ways. Here's a couple examples. Paul wrote to the Colossians and he said this. He said, for by him, that's God, that's specifically Jesus here, by Jesus, everything was created in heaven and on earth, everything that you can see, all the things that you can't see, whether it be thrones or dominions or kingdoms, whether it's countries, whether it's towns, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. There's a purpose. And if you were created, and if God had a reason, he also has a purpose for you. We were created through him, and we were created for him. There's a purpose. Revelation 4:11 says this. It talks about the angels worshiping God, and I just love this part, you know? It's like, all right, God, give me a glimpse of what it's going to be like. And the angels up there, and they're worshiping, and they're just like screaming out like this never-ending song. They're just yelling. They're screaming. It's like, worthy are you, Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. Guess what? They could have praised him for anything. I mean, they're in heaven, right? They see God and how awesome he is. Just the awesomeness of God, they could have been praising him. But this is what they say. They actually say, worthy are you to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Like, they're worshiping God just because he just created it all. Nothing else. If for no other reason, God, you created me. You made me, and I glorify you for it. I make you famous for it. I thank you for it. I love you for it. I'm going to make a big deal about it. You made my kids. You made where I live. You know, Indian Lake. Yeah, the air I'm breathing right now. The heart that's beating right now. When I look up at night and I say, yeah, kids, see the stars? Honestly, that's only a tiny portion of what's actually up there. You don't even see most of it. He made all that. If for no other reason, if we don't know God very much at all, at the most shallow level, God, you made it all. And you're worthy. You are so worthy just from your creation for me to be screaming out a never-ending song, how awesome you are. I think someday, I think we're going to get there, we're going to see it. It's going to be like, God's going to be like, hey, you want to see all the stars? Check this out. I think he's just going to like pull back. It's just going to be like, you ever saw something awesome and you got to like go tell your friend about it? And you like run over there and you're like, hey, have you seen, man, I was just at the Newport Aquarium and, or I was just at the, you know, Creation Museum and, or I was just at St. Louis Arch, and I was just in another country. Let me tell you about it. Like, people bring back pictures, and they got all these pictures, and you're, like, not that interested because it's, like, special to them but not you, right? But they got to tell you, right? Because they're just so thrilled, and it's just, that's worship. It's just coming out of them, right? And they're mostly, it's like God's creation. I think someday we're going to see it all, and it's just going to come out of us naturally. We're going to be excited to sing this song, and we're going to be fulfilling our purpose of worshiping God and glorifying him, making a big deal out of him, enjoying him forever. Paul told those same Romans, he said, from him and through him and to him are all things. All things are from him, They're all made through him, and they're all to him. They're all for him. So to him be glory forever. Amen. So let me just ask you this. That's where we want to end today. What can you do or what can you get that would satisfy you? If you could do anything you wanted for the rest of this year, work to get something, work to be someone, do something you've never done before, once you got that, what could you do where you would be satisfied? I mean, anything. I was just reading about a guy who quit his job to create some online businesses so that he could work while he traveled so he could see the world. And he's like, takes all these mini vacations. And he's been all over the world now. He's been in so many countries. And now he's bored with that. He rode a motorcycle across China. Right? He won like a karate tournament in Japan. What? He won a tango competition in South America. Won a tango competition in South America. A white guy. Right? He's got a famous book. Then he's got a great book. But, you know, but he's still got like this fire. Something wasn't enough. And he's like, well, now what? And he even has his partners in the book where he talks about it. He's like, you know, you just can't make it about doing it. He's like, you're not going to be satisfied. He's like, it's not going to be enough. You got to have something more. What could you possibly do that would satisfy you? Here's the thing. If God made you and he had a reason, then you've got a purpose. And you are not going to be satisfied until you fulfill the purpose he made for you. You will never be more fulfilled than answering whatever God called you to do specifically and doing what he made you to do generally, right? If you neglect being a good parent, or if you neglect being a good friend or neighbor, if you keep serving yourself, it's just going to make the dark hole inside bigger and louder. Right? If God called you to a certain calling, to risk it all, or to, you know, put your fears aside and go and talk to that one person, or to really go and, like, you know, you should really, like, make peace with that one person in your family. If God is calling you to, you know what, you're not going to have peace until you accomplish whatever purpose he made for you. And the best part is this. It means you have a purpose. Everyone has a purpose. You're not without purpose. You're very, very important. You have a very, very important part in this humongous cosmic plan. God made you for a reason, and you've got a purpose. It's not really about finding your identity. It's about just living out your purpose. And so it comes down to this. You know, living like there's no creator, that's like building your house upon the sand. You know, it's just not wise. It's not wise. When the rains come and when the floods come, the house is just not going to do well. And that fall is going to be great. It's not going to be good. And God, because he loves us so much, he's like, you know what? I'm going to give you these truths. And I'm going to start with this one. I'm going to start the whole Bible with this one truth. There's a creator. And that means some things. That means he loves you. He wants you to find him. He's given you a purpose. He hopes you fulfill it and find your joy in him. And you've got a fantastic purpose. And God is happy to bless you while you chase that purpose and chase him. We've got such a good God. Is that true? Would you say we got a good God? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, would you stand with me? I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray. We're about to talk to God here, who created the dirt we're standing on. He created the breath you're taking right now. This country is between two oceans because he decided it. The earth is this temperature right now because he decided it. Your parents loved each other because he created love. billion stars, and he's not tired. We're about to talk to him. Are you ready? Let's pray to God. Father, we recognize that everything we have, Lord, is only because you are good and you've given it by your good hand, Lord. We recognize that you are our creator. You own it all. And to live under any other idea is foolishness, is to build our life upon the sand, Lord. And God, I just pray right now that you give everyone here just a blessing and a peace and a courage just to let their life rest on that truth, that you own it all, that you created it all. Help us, Lord God, just to live with that wonderful faith that you've got us. You love us so much, like a parent who loves their children. May our kids never grow up and not know there's a creator. May our neighbors not go another year and not know there's a creator. Lord God, I pray you help us all now to go and fulfill our purpose this week and always. In Jesus' name, amen.